All right. Welcome to Mountain Man Nutrition, podcast number 12 now. We're really moving up there. We have an awesome guest, special guest, and it's an honor to have Robert Sykes on today. Now, if you don't know Robert Sykes, he has the coolest logo out there. He's got the coolest brand out there. And it's Keto Savage. So Robert's a professional bodybuilder. He does shows. He's a competitive bodybuilder. He's a coach. He's also a pretty darn good cook. And he's got what we call the keto brick. And I'm sure he'll be telling us a little bit about that as we go. So Robert, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So just to be transparent, this is try number two. We had a glitch back in June where my technical abilities kind of failed us, and Robert was cool enough to come back on and do the show again. So I appreciate you being back here.
Hey, no problem. It's always going to be better the second time around, so we just get our practice in.
Right on. Hey, so since you're also a podcaster and you have a cool podcast out there, you got a little story of anything that happened to you that when you first started that you had to redo or that was a big problem for you?
Honestly, just kind of figuring out what software, what kind of, you know, recording, because it's different when you're recording, you know, face-to-face versus when you're recording with somebody, you know, on the other side of the world. I'm trying to find a good recording software so the audio is crisp and it's not, you know, laggy or skipping, and then figure out how to upload all that, you know, to like your hosting provider and get it out on the different platforms. I mean, it's kind of a chore on the front end, but once you do it a couple times and you have it more or less automated, it's tried and true. But yeah, there's been a couple times where, you know, I recorded one with a guest, and after the recording was over, it didn't save at all, so I basically just totally lost that audio file, which makes you feel, it just makes you feel terrible. It's like you're wasting people's time.
Yeah, I've done it a couple times. And we're not the only ones. You've been on the show. Jimmy Moore tells a story about how he had to call a guy back and do another version of the show right off the bat when his failed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So do you ever go back and listen to your early podcasts and see your development?
No, it's kind of funny. Like, since I'm trying to pump out so much content, I don't really consume much. Like, all my YouTube videos as well, you know, I don't really go back and look at any of the old ones. I think someday, you know, when I'm pumping out less new content, I'll be able to kind of be more reflective and you know, look back on some of the old content and then, you know, really appreciate where I've come.
Yeah,
but
right.
Yeah, at the moment right now, I'm getting my head down and I'm just pushing forward.
Right on. So let's talk about what you got going on, because let's first tell a little story about how you got into keto, how you got into bodybuilding, and I know you got a pretty cool story because I've heard it.
Yeah. So basically, kind of very beginning, I started lifting. Didn't really have a clue what I was doing. I was 115 pounds when I started. You know, my folks didn't lift. My family didn't really, they weren't really athletic from like a bodybuilding standpoint. So I was totally clueless getting into the sport. My uncle played football and I kind of wanted to emulate his, you know, outgoing personality. He's just athleticism. So I got into lifting kind of through him, I guess. But his is pretty rudimentary knowledge with regard to, you know, bodybuilding. So I had to just kind of dive into the world of YouTube. We lived out in the country. So I was pretty much, you know, using tractor weights and pieces of steel that I found laying around. My first bench was a green ice chest that I threw a towel over and called good. I mean, it's very, very primitive setup to start. And that was pretty much what I did for the first year of my training. And, you know, nutritionally, I didn't have a clue what I was doing either. I was eating just massive amounts of food. You know, you hear people say you got to eat big to get big. So I was trying to just shove as many calories down me as I could. I was bulking up, trying to put on muscle. I was consuming like 6,000 calories a day. I got up to 230 pounds and, you know, 28% body fat. So very far from optimal. And then I dieted down for my first competition. After that, lost like 70 pounds in 3 months, but I lost a lot of muscle with that. And that was before keto. That was just, you know, standard, you know, typical bodybuilding diet of chicken and rice, broccoli, 6 meals a day, 7 meals a day. At the time I was in college. So, I mean, I would literally you know, I'd break open my Tupperware in the middle of, you know, a lecture or final exams, and I'd just be eating on the clock every 2.5-3 hours, and just very inefficient, you know, unenjoyable, non-sustainable way of living. It just got, you know, worse and worse. I learned a little bit how to manipulate food and whatnot, but I didn't fall into keto until about 4 years ago and never looked back since.
Right on. Did you have any metabolic issues when you were carb loading like that? Did you feel like sugar highs and sugar lows and energy issues at all?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was in college, like I said at the time, so I was totally broke. So it was far from quality food. I was eating those gas station macho chimichangas that were 1,000 calories each, and cereal, you know, chicken nuggets, just like total crap food. And, you know, I didn't have a frame of reference. I didn't have any kind of way to know what optimal felt like because I'd never really been optimal up to that point. But yeah, I was always lethargic. I was always, you know, tired, brain fog. It just was far, far from ideal. And it just, I don't know, it probably damaged me long term, and it kind of developed. It led to, you know, the eating disorders that I developed after that competition because I was so metabolically damaged and emotionally tied to food that after that show and losing so much weight, you know, I kind of didn't really have an effective reverse diet. I went out and I'd binge and then I'd purge and then it'd be just a crazy cycle of, you know, overeating and then undereating. I mean, I would eat, you know, 10,000 calories in a meal at IHOP, and then I would not eat for 3 days other than, you know, a can or two of tuna. And it just became a very, very bad downward spiral for me.
No, I get it. I started in high school wrestling and football, I would be bulked up. In high school, you know, you're only 205, 220 pounds. But I would drop down to like 145 pounds or 140 pounds in just a couple of months. You know, and I remember standing up and getting so dizzy and just falling down, like passing out for a couple seconds, just because of the metabolic and adrenal issues from losing that weight. And then I've never, ever looked back from having those kind of eating disorders, everything from purging as well. So it's a bad habit to get into, and it takes a long, long time to change that behavior.
Yeah, it definitely does. And it takes, I mean, people don't talk about it enough, like, especially, you know, men, they think it's like a weakness. They don't really open up about that. So I've tried to make it a point to, you know, be as open as I possibly can with my podcast and my videos, you know, that it's out there. It's a thing, especially amongst competitors, but it's a reality. And, you know, hiding from that is not going to help you overcome it any faster. So recognizing it for what it is, you know, and then being honest with yourself and establishing that foundation to build from is key. But it is crazy, man. Like I did 3 competitions all with carbs, and I was able to get really lean. I mean, I looked great, but I was very internally unhealthy. And, you know, with keto, I just don't have the emotional fixation with food. Like there's no disconnect. When I was eating carbs, like I legitimately could not distinguish between actual hunger versus emotional hunger, actual fullness versus, you know, emotional fullness. Like it was just so much of a disconnect there. Whereas with keto, like I know how my body feels. I'm much more in sync with what I need. And then with that, I just provide my body what it needs. I don't have to be as emotionally tied to what I eat. And with that, I mean, that's freeing. It's liberating. I don't have to be run by food. I can run food, you know?
Exactly. So how did you find keto and how did you get into it?
So after my third competition, I wanted to try and, you know, be a little bit more on top of my reverse diet, not just let it all go out the window like I had previously. So I decided I was going to introduce carbohydrate backloading, which is kind of a protocol to intake a lot of carbs while minimizing the fat gain. So basically it's basically keto the first half of the day. And then at the end of the day, you eat a bunch of high glycemic index carbs, like, you know, cookies and cereals and, you know, pizzas and ice cream. But since you're keto the first half of the day, it doesn't have near the negative effect, you know, that eating carbs throughout the day has. And that's kind of my introduction to keto. Like it wasn't even called keto at the time. Like it was just carb backloading, but I noticed that I felt better before I ever introduced the carbs. Plus, you know, when you're eating, you know, carbs like that, like, you know, even if you're not gaining a whole bunch of body fat, you know, it's like not optimal. I mean, I would literally eat a whole tray of brownies covered in almond butter and syrup. Like, I would finish that whole tray, and it's like, okay, I'm not going to get super fat from this because of the way I'm timing this, but I mean, being honest with myself, this obviously isn't good, nutritious food that I'm putting in my body, so it can't be sustainable.
Right on. With uploading all that sugar in the evening, can you get any sleep, or how was your sleep at night?
See, me personally, I sleep like a baby when I'm full. Like, I go to bed fat and happy, and then I wake up feeling great. Like, I like to eat a big meal right before going to bed. I sleep better. Some people, it's the exact inverse. So, you know, with those individuals, I recommend doing what's best for your sleep. As far as meal timing at night. But for me, I sleep better.
Wow. Right on. Wow. Cause, everybody is bio-individual when it comes to sleep, but, and I think you'll agree with this, is sleep is one of the most important things that you can do for yourself. And I'm actually selfish with my sleep, and I don't always get it. You know, I'm going on about 5 hours sleep now, just because I closed the restaurant last night, got home late and had to get up at 5:30. But it's, like, that 5 hours was super good, yeah? And I really focus on my sleep. How are you? Do you, like, mandatory a certain amount of hours? Or I know you're super crazy busy, but...
You know, sleep is very, very important. And I always feel better. I always train better. I always have a more positive outlook when I get at least, you know, 6 hours of sleep. But at the same time, like, I just know, like, I'm at a stage in my life right now where it's go time. Like, it's just... I mean, it's time to grind. Like, I've got my health, I've got my youth, I've got energy, I've got resources. So I don't want to sacrifice the opportunity I have in front of me to sleep more, which may come back and bite me in the butt later. Probably will, most likely. But at the same time, I mean, I'm so high on life and excited about what I'm working on now that, like, I literally can get 4 hours of sleep and still wake up, you know, enthused, energized because I'm so excited about that day. But ideally, I'd be able to have, you know, that time to work on my given task while still getting, you know, 6 or 7 hours sleep.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, the keto, when I'm on keto like now, you know, I can function highly on that 5 hours of sleep and be just fine. If I'm off the diet and eating sugar and crap, man, I really need 8-9 hours. Ketogenic diet just focuses me in and makes me feel 500 times better. And I wake up, you know, just full of energy, no matter how much sleep I've had.
I 100% agree with you there. I think the, you know, with carbs, there's like a 2 hour disconnect. I mean, with carbs, I feel like I need 8 hours. With keto, I can get away with 6 hours and feel just the same. I feel like the quality of sleep is much better, even if it's less sleep quantity. So I totally agree with you there. But especially, or also, you know, speaking of like calorie intake and macronutrient ratios, I've noticed that those have a profound effect on quality of sleep and how much energy I have upon waking based off of, you know, the ratio of my macronutrients and the quantity of like my caloric intake and whatnot.
Right on. Yeah. Let's talk about quality a little bit because it's one of the most important things from a nutritional standpoint and from a nutritional therapist standpoint. I coach quality all the time as best you can. You know, you got to add it in slowly or do the best you can. But grass-fed butter, grass-fed beef, all-natural pork, you know, free-range eggs, and as much organic vegetables as possible. What kind of quality are you eating?
That's actually a really good question. I'm taking a really keen interest towards quality and, like, micronutrient density and nutrient density as a whole, especially lately. Because, I mean, prior to me building my business and seeing the success that I have, lately, I was just totally broke, so I couldn't honestly afford a lot of the you know, higher end quality foods. Like, I was living off of the bottom of the barrel, like Spam, which is far from quality food. But I mean, you do what you do, and I honestly believe that, you know, even the worst quality bacon is better for you than the best quality grains in the whole scheme of like carbs versus keto. But now that I can't afford, you know, quality foods, I've really tried to optimize on that and not leave any room for air. So I'll go for the grass fed. I'll go for the organic. I'll go for the free range. You know, ideally I hunt as well. So I try and, you know, harvest a lot of my own meats, during the seasons. But I feel like, you know, having that nutrient density and micronutrient quality in the food you eat. I mean, there's so much to be said for that. I mean, if you have a cow that's been, you know, raised on grain, that's going to be a different fatty acid profile in that meat that you're consuming than a cow that's been you know, organic and grass-fed its whole life. And, you know, what you intake into your own body is going to affect how you feel and perform. So if I can put the proper intake in, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll say two things about that. Is number one, when you're eating grain-fed anything, there's no essential nutrients in that grain. You know, there's no awesome vitamins in that grain. Where when the cow is eating the grass, he's getting fat-soluble vitamins A, D, E, and K that we can't get from the grass because we can't eat grass. But when we eat the cow that's grass-fed, those in that fat of the cow are all those vitamins that are essential to you. And that's why eating you know, grass-fed is so important, because we're upregulating those vitamins that we absolutely have to have. Also, a little bit of a note about eating this kind of stuff, and it is a little more expensive for sure. But and your diet's got to be different for me, because you're building so much muscle all the time. But I only eat 3 to 4 ounces of protein per meal. So if I'm buying a $7 to $9 pound of grass-fed beef, you know, that's three meals actually for me. So when you look at it on that kind of aspect, it's not so much expensive.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. I did a video a while back in which we went to Walmart, and I didn't sacrifice quality at all. Like, I got the highest quality stuff that I could find at Walmart, and I was able to hit my macros, which at the time were like 2,300 calories. And I spent about a week's worth of groceries for like less than $80, like right at $80, something like that. But it was all, you know, the best quality you could at Walmart, which is not bad at all. I mean, honestly, if you're getting the quality stuff, and that's, I mean, it's all about what your priorities are. Like, a lot of people will say they don't have money for quality foods, so they'll stock up on, you know, cereals and ramen noodles and pastas that are really cheap, but then in their grocery cart, they'll also have like a flat screen TV. You know, it's like, what are you going to put your priorities as far as your food? Like, to me, that's investing in my health. Like, that's insurance. You know, like, I would rather invest my money in what I'm going to be consuming on a day-to-day basis, because that compounded over time is going to have a tremendous effect on my long-term health.
Absolutely. And this is and with what I do with nutritional therapy is we're really look at deficiencies, because Alzheimer's, you know, arthritis, autoimmune disease, all these are chronic illnesses that develop over 10, 20, 30 years of a person's life. And most of the time it's lifestyle and diet and what you're putting in your body, and or what you're not putting in your body that you're missing. Because, I mean, you could go a couple weeks or even a month and it's not a problem without very much vitamin D or vitamin K. But you go without that for a year, 2 years, 8 years, being completely deficient, and you're really, really, you know, doing a disservice to your body and to your ultimate health over a long period of time.
Absolutely. And see, that's honestly why I get so excited about keto, because I'm looking at it through such a long-term lens, and bodybuilding as well. I mean, everything that I do in life, I try and make symbiotic and always have like a long game approach to. And with keto, I'm just excited about, you know, the next 20, 30, 40 years. Like, previously, before I found keto, before I was, you know, eating and following this kind of lifestyle, I would just follow the standard, you know, bodybuilding diet protocol. And it was just very unhealthy. You know, you're bulking, you're cutting, you're bulking, you're cutting. You're eating just really high glycemic index foods to, you know, spike your insulin as much as you can. And then a lot of these bodybuilders, they have, you know, massive health problems in their early 30s. And for me, like, I just want to bypass all of that. Maybe forego some of the short-term gains, but then just compound over time and look better and better and be healthier internally and externally for my entire lifetime. Like, I mean, you can't put a price on that.
You cannot put a price on that. And I hear a book in 15 years, how I lived my life and where I'm at today.
Hey, sounds good, man. Count me in for sure.
That's awesome. So next up, what else do you got going on right now? Tell us what you're presently up to and what's your next big thing coming out. I know you got a new batch of keto bricks. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So the keto bricks, it's kind of happened all by accident. When I did my last competition in 2017, I wanted to make a shelf-stable fat bomb, basically, with perfect ketogenic macro ratios that I could take with me, not have to worry about refrigeration or anything like that, and just have on show day and while traveling, so that it would just make hitting my macros easy in a contest prep where everything is just chaotic and I want to just be as streamlined as possible. So I made this, you know, 1,000-calorie brick that will hold up, and I mean, it's super solid, tastes great, and it's got all the macros and everything I need in it. And then I had it on like a video, you know, not thinking anything of it, and one of the viewers was like, "What is that? I want the recipe. Can you make one for me? Can you send it to me?" And I'm like, "Oh, it's just this thing I made up, nothing special." And it just kept getting more and more, you know, momentum. And it's like, well, shoot, I'm just going to start making these things and seeing what the demand is for them. And, you know, lo and behold, we launched 2 months ago, and it's just been going gangbusters ever since. So we're trying to just grow it organically. Like, we've not, you know, gone out for outside financing. We haven't gone the co-packing around. Like, we literally kept everything in-house. My girlfriend, my fiance now, and then my brother, my cousins, like, we're all in the kitchen, you know, making these things by hand. We're shipping them out by hand. It's just totally, you know, grown organically in-house. And I don't know, it's just fun and exciting. I like it.
Right on. I saw the videos you did of your production, and it was super awesome. And you know what I loved about the Keto Brick, except for the point, every time I get online and try to order one, they're already sold out. So they're super popular because I can't even get one, right?
But it is crazy.
The fact that it's shelf stable, it's not a little bitty dinky bar that's supposed to be a snack. It's a full meal that you can take anywhere with you, right? And so many people have a problem out there, especially if they're just getting started in keto or trying to do low carb or are still sugar burning, they're hungry all the time. So you get out in the car, you get away from a place to eat, the first thing you do is you want to eat something crappy, some fast food, or just grab whatever's in your mouth. Or for me at work, like, I'm surrounded by food all the time, you know, it's easy to grab the wrong stuff. But if you got this full meal that's super awesome for you, it's like being prepared. You know, you have one on you, you're set.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like I'm always tracking my macros. Like, that's just my lifestyle. So I'm always tracking macros. I always have a goal number of, you know, fat, protein, and carbs I'm aiming for in a day's time. And I just try and reverse engineer that and make meals that, you know, accompany those macros. And like, with me building the business that I am now and just traveling as much as I am and, you know, trying to squeeze everything in, like, I just don't have time to make super ornate, extravagant meals. And, you know, the Keto Brick is literally the answer to that in the most efficient way and streamlined way. It's just like the shelf-stable brick, you know, open it up, and I've got it, I'm good to go. And then I can, you know, manipulate smaller meals or, like, you know, a sausage or, like, some eggs or something around it to hit whatever my macros for that day are.
Right on. I think it's perfect, and I think you're doing a great job with it. Can't wait to get a couple of them. I know. When's your next release? It's in 2 weeks?
Yeah, no, so the biggest launch, yeah, this is going to be 5 times larger than our last. The last one sold out in 6 minutes, so I wanted to kind of hedge against that. But this one's going to be going live next Wednesday, so I don't know when this podcast is going to go live, but it's going to go, the Brick's going to launch on the 25th of this month, July.
Right on. All right. Well, it'll, this podcast goes live right off the bat as quick as I can get it out because we're busy, right?
Awesome. We're busy. Yeah, yeah, that's the way to do it.
And I do it raw too, you know, just mistakes and goof ups and good conversation. That's what we do here.
I like it. I like it. Authentic.
So how do you coach your guys? You got somebody that's brand new, it's a sugar burner, maybe they're overweight, or maybe they're, you know, not, and they're super health, super in shape, but they want to get on board with keto. How do you start them out with your training?
So the first thing I like to do is kind of get a baseline established regarding, you know, what their current caloric intake is, what their current macro ratios are, what their training's like, just kind of what they've been doing, like, past 6 months, past couple of years, just get some history on them, because that's going to, you know, have a pretty prominent impact on what we're going to do going forward. A lot of people just want to plug in a macro calculator and then just, you know, throw in those numbers and stick with that for the next 6 months, which is just very, very limiting. So I like to get like a baseline on where they're coming from. And then from there, the first step is to figure out what their protein threshold is. So depending on what their goal is, obviously, like, if they're trying to, we'll just hypothetically say somebody's trying to lose body fat, that's the majority of my clients, you know, we'll figure out what their protein threshold is. So a lot of people, they are under the assumption that if you want to lose body fat, you need to cut body fat, or you need to cut your dietary fat intake so that your body can tap into more of its stored fat, which is a very reasonable argument, or I mean, makes sense. But I've found with myself and my clients, I manipulate the caloric intake, I manipulate the macro ratios, but I feel like the higher fat ratio overall on average seems to work better. It just is more sustainable, and it kind of lends itself to, you know, just heightened mental clarity and energy throughout the cutting process as opposed to not. So I advocate for a higher fat ratio generally. With that, I try to find their protein threshold so that I can know what that is and then not go above that ceiling. So we'll figure out the protein threshold, and then from there kind of titrate macros down, optimizing their fat to protein ratios. I keep carbs very, very low throughout a contest prep. I mean, for the short amount of time that you're dieting down that aggressively, you know, I feel like very minimal carbs is okay. I feel like fiber, a lot of people are worried about fiber, but I feel like fiber is, you know, should be looked at almost as an antidote to carbs. So if you're eating minimal carbs, you need a little antidote. So I incorporate very little carbohydrates. And then we just optimize the ratios, optimize the caloric intake, figure out what works, what their body responds well to, and get them to reach the goal.
Right on. Well, so let's walk the guests through that a little bit. So the reason why you need fat to intake fat to burn fat is because your body needs to become fat adapted, and your body needs fat to function. It's essential fatty acids. So it's essential. Your body has to have it. In these vitamins and the cholesterol, it's your body needs it. And so when you upregulate fat, your body can learn to burn it. Because if you're not eating any fat, your body can't learn to burn it. And when you're talking about your protein threshold, you're really focusing on so people don't eat too much protein so they don't turn it into sugar, yeah?
Yeah, and a lot of people, I mean, the whole carnivore craze is really big hype right now in keto. You know, the whole protein debate is really big hype right now in keto. And there's a lot of, you know, there's more than one way to skin a cat, you know, as the saying goes. Like, you can have a lot of success with a lot of different, you know, techniques and protocols. But for me, something I've really found true, and I've worked with so many clients now, it's really cool because it's a huge data pool for me. And I can kind of, you know, through pattern recognition, see what's working well and what's not working well. So by keeping the fat ratio relatively high, and again, everybody's going to have a different protein threshold, so everybody's going to have a different sweet spot, so to say. But by keeping the fat ratio high and titrating calories down in a, you know, healthy, sustainable way, like your ketone production is going to ramp up. Ketones are very muscle sparing, so you're not going to have to worry about losing muscle. I mean, when I got down to my peak week, my last week of my contest prep, I was down to 65 grams of protein, which for a bodybuilder is unheard of. My fiance Crystal, when she got down her last 6 weeks, she was at 30 grams of protein, yet neither of us lost any muscle. In fact, we were both hitting, you know, records in our gym performance, you know, right around the competition time. So the whole argument that you're going to, you know, lose muscle and you're not going to be able to sustain any kind of, you know, strength as protein titrates down is just false if you do it correctly.
Yeah, well, your body reuses as much protein as possible. It's extremely efficient. So your liver is going to take all the broken and busted and messed up protein, and it's going to break it apart, and it's going to rebuild it as good, healthy protein. And so you're constantly recycling your old protein. So you don't need as much as people think. But other bodybuilders that aren't doing the keto, they're eating what, 300-400 grams of protein a day? Something ridiculous like that. Is that right?
Oh yeah, it's crazy, man. They're, like my, you know, my last competition, I was backstage eating these keto bricks, and everybody else was backstage eating rice cakes, and it was just, you know, it's just totally counter to each other. But yeah, they'll keep their protein, you know, 300-400 grams, and their carbs will be very, very low because they're trying to, you know, lose as much body fat as they can. But since they're not, you know, keto adapted, they're not fat adapted, they're basically just inefficiently converting the proteins to, you know, glucose through gluconeogenesis, which is just an inefficient process. That's why they all walk around looking and feeling like zombies, and performance just starts to suffer. And that's, I mean, that's a very muscle wasting protocol in itself. So, you know, they're all eating all this protein thinking that they're going to, you know, maintain their muscle mass and size. Here I am eating, you know, a quarter, if even that much, of the protein they are, yet I'm feeling and performing much better. My mental clarity and acuity is on a whole other level, and I'm hitting records in the gym while they're all getting weaker. So
yeah,
I feel like there's something to be said for keto in the bodybuilding sport.
Oh, for sure. Because you're using ketones for your brain to stay sharp. And by now, your body is using straight fatty acids to build that muscle for energy, fatty acids for energy. And the other guys, what they're doing is they're sugar burning the whole time. And then when they drop all their sugar, they don't have any source of energy. So they're taking that protein, the body's taking that protein and trying to turn it into energy, which is, like you said, inefficient, and it's difficult to do. So it's hard to maintain energy. And what little fat that they're intaking, they can't utilize because they're not used to utilizing fat. Their body hasn't become fat adapted. So they're struggling, exactly. And you're fat adapted, and you're just high energy all the time, because ketones and fatty acids are way more efficient, and your body actually prefers it for energy.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think there's varying degrees of, you know, fat adaptation. You know, I've been strict keto for 4 years. I haven't had like a carb cheat meal at all in that entire time, and I think there's something to be said for that. Like, that's going to have to be looked at through a different lens than somebody that's just been keto for, you know, 2 months and is registering high on the ketone test meters, but that's just going to be different, you know, metabolically speaking, than someone that's been adapted for like 4 years like myself. But again, kind of going back to that whole long game approach, like, it just keeps getting better and better and better. And I feel like if people just were patient enough and disciplined enough to let themselves truly tap into the full potential of what being, you know, fully keto adapted is, then there would be no desire or reason to break that for a carb-based meal. And I mean, people, like competitors that I've worked with, will come up to me and they'll ask, you know, can I introduce carbs? Like, I'm already fat adapted. I can get back into ketosis relatively quickly. And yes, you can, but I mean, why would you want to? And that, I think there's like a long-term effect there that kind of goes unseen on the short end, you know?
Yeah, my answer to that is sure, go ahead and see how crappy you feel. Yeah. You know, it's a great experiment. Yeah. You know, eat a pizza and see how many days it takes you to just feel normal and healthy again.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So do you ketone test, and do you, when you're coaching people, do you ask them the ketone test?
Yeah, so I do a lot of testing if I'm in the middle of an experiment or something. Just on a typical day, I don't really test, because I know based off of how I have my macros set and how I feel that I'm, you know, producing ketones and I'm in ketosis. If I'm doing like an experiment in which I don't know the outcome, then I'll test pretty religiously just so that I can have as much data as possible. For my clients, I don't have to, I mean, I always tell them, you know, you don't have to test. Like, some people, based off their finances, you know, they may not want to spend that much money on testing devices, which I totally understand and respect. So like, if they don't want to do that, if they don't want to hassle with it, then, you know, as long as they're hitting my numbers and they feel great, then they're in ketosis, period. If they don't, if there's like some kind of, you know, unforeseen issue or something's just not working, then I like to have them introduce that as a test point so that we can kind of just gather more data and see what may be at play. But I'm a data geek, so I like that.
Right on. I go back and forth personally. I test for a while and then get off of it for a while and then go back to testing. Because I do also, I just know when I'm functioning at a high level and when I'm not.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Right on. So what else you got going on? I know you've been traveling a lot. Are you doing like speaking engagements, and how can people reach you?
Yeah, so been traveling quite a bit. We're doing, I spoke at KetoCon. I spoke at the Low Carb Cruise, Jimmy Moore. So been doing a couple different conferences and whatnot. And you know, right now, the keto brick's taking a lot of my time. We're trying to get that ramped up. We're moving closer to our commercial kitchen space so that we can streamline our production there. And then, you know, I'm working with Keto Connect. We've made this online course to kind of bring a lot of these coaching principles that I've used on my one-on-one clients, you know, to the masses, so that it can be kind of more scalable, so to speak, help more people. And then I've got, you know, the Keto Savage brand and business that I'm building up as well. And we're just, you know, blowing and going. There's like so many things that I'm getting my hands into right now. I'm just excited. And I don't know, this is just an awesome, awesome community that everybody in it genuinely wants to help one another. And I feel like the vibe is there. I feel like there's just so many good things aligning all at once, not just for myself, but other movers and shakers in the industry. And the cool thing about it is rather than me looking at them as competition, I look at them all and they look at me as friends and companions. And when you have an industry or a niche or a community like that, then, I mean, there is literally limitless potential. And I'm just excited about that as a whole.
Yeah, I'm excited about that too. And I really and I feel that with you too, because, I mean, you were like, yeah, man, yeah, I'll do your podcast. Not a problem. Hey, you need anything else? You need this or you need that? And you were super open and like, hey, and that's how the whole group is. Everybody I've talked to in podcasting or coaching or other NTPs that focus on keto, they're all the same. They're super open and ready to help everybody. And I like that. It's an amazing group of people.
Yeah, it's like you're able to add more value than you take and leave a legacy. And there's, I mean, you can't put a price on that either. You know, there's just so much value in that.
Absolutely. And that's how things get started, is grassroots. You know, I mean, we want to make this kind of mainstream, you know, like ketones and the benefit and the ketogenic diet, because it's so helpful and so beneficial to so many people. And we got a big fight ahead of us, and it's an uphill battle to get rid of the, you know, the low fat, high carb paradigm that's going on here. But your podcast, my podcast, everybody else's blogs and this and that, it develops grassroots style, and that's how you make the biggest changes.
Absolutely. You just got to move that needle a little bit in the right direction, one day at a time.
That's right. So you mentioned an online course. Talk a little bit about that. Tell us how that works and what's going on. Because honestly, I have an online course for not necessarily for ketosis, but for nutrition and especially digestion, starting August 20th. That I'm offering to my clients and different people on the Facebook and things like that. So talk about what your course is like and what you're focusing on.
Yeah, yeah. So this is the first online course I've ever done. I'm pretty excited about it. Basically, I teamed up with Keto Connect, you know, the food bloggers, which was a really good match because, you know, they're not bodybuilders. A lot of people, they'll like all have advice and you know, coaching principles that all give out to the public, but they just assume that since I'm a bodybuilder that it wouldn't apply to them. So I'm really glad that I teamed up with Keto Connect because they're not marketing themselves as bodybuilders. I mean, they're just normal people. And then I put them through the course and, you know, we built the course together. I put them through my protocol basically, and they both saw amazing results with it. And then we took that information, that data, those experiences, and that you know, story basically, and then we turned into an online course and told people and showed people how to replicate those results and apply the principles to their own lifestyle and eating habits and, you know, benefit from the outcomes. So it's we launched that last month, and then we're 2 months ago, and then we took it down to do some upgrades, then we're going to relaunch it on August 1st. So that's just a really cool way because it's basically like the same principles that are in my, you know, one-on-one coaching, but it's just all laid out with, you know, video modules. It's got the spreadsheet. It's got a bunch of, you know, PDF documentation. It's just got a lot of, you know, coursework material basically where you can walk through it and apply the principles to your own protocol, your own day-to-day, and it just kind of evolves and adapts with you as you go. So I'm pretty proud of it.
Awesome. Wow, that sounds exciting. And those guys are cool. I watch their videos. Yeah,
Keto Connect's awesome.
Yeah, I get their email updates and things like that. So it's a very cool, cool partnership. Congratulations on that.
Thanks, sir. I appreciate it.
All right. So running out of time on this, and I just want to get one major tip for our listeners from you. What is the most important thing, I think, that a most important takeaway? If you can only tell them one thing, what's the most important takeaway that you can give somebody?
Well, we kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, like the whole long game, long, you know, approach. But that, I mean, I really, really want to beat that home. And a lot of people want, you know, a tangible, specific thing that they can, you know, put into play today. You know, so I understand that. But that, I mean, they go hand in hand. If every single thing you do on a day-to-day basis has some way of benefiting your outcome, you know, 20, 30, 50 years down the road, and that can compound over time. Like maybe it's just my personality, but I've never tried to look like the quick fix or like the instant gratification. Like I've always just looked at my business choices, my nutrition, my training. Like, okay, if this might not be perfect, but if it's pretty close and it gets me moving in the right direction, then I can just put my head down and get to work and chip away at it every single day for the rest of my life, and know that if I do that, 50 years from now, I'm gonna be able to look back and know that I succeeded in that given task, then I've won. And if people think about that and apply that to their nutrition and the training and their business or career path or relationships or anything in life, then, I mean, you are literally uncapped. You can do and become anything and everything you've ever wanted.
That's awesome. And I, too, with my focus being type 2 diabetes and insulin resistance, there's no quick fix for that. You know, it's nothing but a long game. Some people can manage it in 3-4 months and get really under control and get those sugars down quickly. Other people, year and a half. You know, it's everybody's bio-individual and have different makeup and reasons. And so it's a long game. Nutrition, digestion, you know, we've been, especially if we've been messing our bodies up for 20, 30 years, you know, it takes a little time to, you know, heal yourself and get back into the game. Yeah.
Absolutely. So yeah, having that kind of long game approach, I mean, plus it just makes the day to day more sustainable and fun. Like if you're not worried about reaching the goal in 24 hours, but more so, you know, over time, then it makes the process of reaching that goal over a longer period of time much more enjoyable. And I think, you know, with it being more enjoyable like that, then it's going to be much more easy to stick to.
Right on. And, you know, I listen, and I know you listen to Gary Vee because we talked a little bit about it, but Gary Vaynerchuk really says, hey, if you play a big game, the little stuff doesn't bother you. You know, the everyday little stuff does not bother you. So play a big game. And I love that. And I repeat that mantra.
100%, man. I could not agree more.
Right on. Well, I appreciate being on the show on Mountain Man Nutrition. How can people, if they want some one-on-one coaching from you, or they want a keto brick, or they want to see your awesome cooking videos, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, so I've basically got three pillar sites at the moment. KetoSavage.com is where people can go for coaching or like the cooking videos and whatnot. The vlogs, Keto Savage on Instagram, that's all, you know, on YouTube and whatnot. And then Keto Brick has got its own Instagram and website, ketobrick.com. And then the course is deeperstateketo.com.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot for being on the show. Good wishes to you, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Sounds good to me, man. Thanks a million for having me on here. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.